Hello, and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you with the kind assistance of KBIA. Come on in and sit a while. Relax while we tell you a story. Today's show is based on a popular short story by W.W. Jacobs called The Monkey's Paw. As a frequent contributor to the legendary Strand magazine, William Weimark Jacobs, thus W.W., primarily wrote humorous stories about the foibles of British merchant seamen. But The Monkey's Paw is something else entirely. This taut tale of horror survives as his best-known work. First published in 1902, the short story was adapted for Broadway and was performed at the Lyceum Theater in 1907. There have been several movie and TV versions, including episodes of The Alfred Hitchcock Hour and Twilight Zone. And so, to quote Rod Serling, you are about to enter another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land of imagination. Come along with us, won't you? Here's The Monkey's Paw. Our story takes place in the living room of Mr. and Mrs. White, a couple in their early 60s who live in a little cottage on the outskirts of Fulham, England. Mr. White is engaged in a game of chess with his son, Herbert, who is an electrical technician.
Listen to the wind.
I hear it. Check.
I don't think Sergeant Morse will come by tonight.
Mate.
Drat, you beat me again, Herbert. That's the worst part of living so far out. Friends have a long way to come just to visit, and you addle your brains over a confounded game of chess.
Now, Father.
Morris said he'd come, so he'll be here.
Oh, of all the beastly, slushy, out-of-the-way places to live. The pathway's a bog and the road's a torrent.
You're just upset over losing the game, dear. Perhaps you'll win tomorrow.
Perhaps I'll... What do you mean? You always know what's going on inside my head, don't you, my dear?
I ought to, after 30 years, John.
And it's not such a bad place, Dad, after all. One of the few old-fashioned houses left in the area. Homelike, I call it. And so do you, or you wouldn't have bought it.
Yes, I made a hash of that, too. Still owe $200 on it.
Why, I'll work that off in no time, Dad. 3 years or so with the raise I was promised.
If you don't get married.
Not me. I'm not that sort.
I wish you would, Herbert. You're a good, steady lad.
There's lots of time, Mother. Sufficient to the day, as the old saying goes. Right now, my electrical work doesn't leave me much time for lovemaking. My dynamos are jealous lovers, and that's a fact.
I lay awake nights thinking, why, if Herbert takes a nap and lets his dynamos run down, all Fulham would be in darkness. Lord, what a joke.
Joke? With me falling asleep on the job? Not much of a joke, in my opinion.
That's him. That's the sergeant.
I wonder what yarn he's got for us tonight.
Oh, this bolt is sticking again. Herbert, would you take a look at it in the morning?
Certainly, Father.
Ah, there it goes.
Don't let the door slam, John.
Come in quick. The door's about to blow off its hinges. I can't hold it against this wind.
Awful, awful weather. And up by the cemetery, it's even worse. Enough to blow the hair off your head.
Here, let me take your hat and coat.
If you weren't such good friends, I would never have come out on a night like this.
You must be cold. Come over by the fire, Sergeant.
How are you, ma'am? And you, lad? Not on duty yet? Day shift, eh?
No, sir. Night shift. But I have about half an hour yet.
Care for something hot to drink?
Oh, that's good. What's in it?
Put your nose in it. You'll see.
What's this? Whiskey? And hot? And sugar? And a slice of lemon? Well, I shouldn't, but seeing what sort of night it is, here's to your health.
Same to you and many more.
Aren't you drinking, lad?
Oh, I'm not being unsociable. But my work and drink don't mix, not even a little bit. I've got to keep a cool head, a steady eye, and a firm hand. The flywheel might gobble me up.
I wish you wouldn't talk that way, Herbert.
Never fear, Mother. He knows what he's doing.
Ah, electricians. Regular magicians you are. Light, you say, and light it is. Power, you say, and trains go whizzing by. And knowledge, says you, and words go humming to the ends of the world. It beats me how you do it, and I've seen a bit of magic in my time, too.
Your Indian magic. It's all fake. The fakir's a fake.
Fake, you call it? I tell you, I've seen it.
Oh, come now. Such as what? Come now.
I've seen a fellow with no more clothes on than a baby, if you know what I mean, take an empty basket, empty, mind you, as empty as my glass here, and...
Here, give it to me, Sergeant. I'll take care of that.
Oh, well, that was not my intention. I was using it as an illustration. But if you insist...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I've seen the basket trick, and I've read how it's done. Why, I could do it myself with a bit of practice. Come now. Your magic must be made of stronger stuff than that.
Stronger? Well, what do you say to an old fakir throwing a rope up in the air? In the air, mind you, and swarming up it as if it was hooked on, and then vanishing clean out of sight. I've seen that.
Well, that takes the cake.
Do you mean to say you doubt my word?
No, no, he's only joking. You shouldn't do that, Herbert.
Herbert's always joking, always looking for a bit of fun.
But it's not a joke, it's true. Why, I could tell you things, but no, you won't get any more yarns out of me.
Oh, nonsense, old friend. You're not going to be upset about a joke. What was it that you started to tell me the other day? Something about a monkey's paw?
Nothing. Nothing worth hearing about, anyway.
A monkey's paw?
Yeah, you were telling me...
Nothing. Don't go on about it.
You said you always carried it with you.
So I do, for fear of what might happen.
What's it for?
Well, you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
I will, every word.
It's magic. Now, don't you laugh.
I'm not. Have you got it on you now?
Of course.
Let's see it.
Oh, it's nothing to look at. Just an ordinary little paw, dried up like a mummy. Here.
Oh!
Let me take a look. Why, it's all dried up.
That's what I told you.
Just listen to that wind.
And what's so special about this paw?
That paw has had a spell put on it.
A spell?
By an old Indian holy man. He was very devout. He'd sat all doubled up in one spot for nigh on 15 years, just thinking about things. And he wanted to show that fate ruled people, that everything was cut and dried from the beginning, so to speak, that there's no getting away from destiny. And even if you tried, you'd just wind up in the same place again. So he put a spell on this paw. It might have been anything, but he took the first thing at hand. He put a spell on it so that three people could each have three wishes.
Shh, don't laugh.
But mark my words, though the wishes were granted, these people came to wish that they hadn't been.
But how could the wishes be granted by the monkey's paw?
He didn't say. It could all happen so naturally you might think it was all coincidence. If you didn't know better.
Why haven't you tried it, Sergeant?
I have.
You've had your three wishes.
Yes.
Were they granted?
They were.
Has anybody else used it to make wishes?
Yes. The first donor had his three wishes all right. Oh, yes. He had his three wishes all right. I don't remember what the first two were, but the third was for death. That's how I got the paw.
Well, it seems to me you've only got to wish for things that can't cause any bad luck.
Ah, if only that could be...
Morris, if you had your three wishes, it's no good to you now. What do you keep it for?
Habit, I suppose. There was a time when I almost sold it, but I don't think I will. It's done enough mischief already. Besides, people won't buy. Some of them think it's a fairy tale, and some want to try it first and pay after. I should just chuck it into the fire.
If you could have another three wishes, would you?
I don't know. No, I wouldn't. It has caused nothing but trouble and heartache. Into the fire and let it burn.
What are you doing?
Let it burn. Let the infernal thing burn.
Let it burn, John.
No, if you don't want it, give it to me.
I won't. I would never do that to you. It's damned, don't you see? I threw it in the fire. My hands are clean of it. If you want it, fetch it back, but don't blame me, whatever happens. Don't, John. Pitch it back in again.
I'm going to keep it. What do you say, Herbert?
I say keep it if you want to. It's all nonsense anyhow.
Yes, nonsense, but I wish...
Stop! Mind what you're doing. That's not how you work it.
How do you work it?
Oh, don't take it, John. I don't want it here.
That's what I say, ma'am. But if I don't tell him, he might wish for something he didn't mean to. You just hold it in your hand and make your wish aloud. But don't do it, John. No good can come of it. I'm warning you.
Sounds like the Arabian Nights. Maybe you could wish I had 4 pairs of hands. I'd get the housework done quicker.
Oh, right you are. You know, I wish...
Stop it! If you must wish, wish for something sensible, something that won't have any ill effects. Oh, look here, I can't stand this. It gets on my nerves. Where's my hat and coat? I must go.
I'm walking the same way in a few minutes. Won't you wait?
No, I'm all shook up. I need some fresh air. I don't want to be here when any wishes are made. And I know they will be the minute my back is turned. I know. But I've warned you.
All right, Morris. Don't worry about us. Here, let me get you something for it.
No, I won't.
Yes, I insist. Here.
Well, good night, all. Throw that thing in the fire, John.
Good night.
Good night.
As the door of the White's little house closes behind Sergeant Morris, let's step away for a moment to hear this message from the Maplewood Barn Community Theater. Plan now to rediscover the wonders of outdoor theater at Maplewood Barn this summer. A brand new barn has risen in Nifong Park to replace the one that burned down 2 years ago. And there will be a full season of theater under the stars to delight the whole family. This will be the 40th anniversary season for Maplewood Barn Community Theater, and we open on May 24th with the beloved musical Fiddler on the Roof. Then comes the British comedy How the Other Half Loves, followed by Shakespeare's Hamlet, and then the suspense classic Wait Until Dark. For details about auditions, the performances, and directions to Call Me as Nifong Park, consult the Maplewood website, www.maplewoodbarn.com. Join us this May at Maplewood Barn.
Before we continue with our story, let's take a moment to tell you about a way that you can help us at Maplewood Barn. Have you or a member of your family ever attended one of the shows or acted or helped out with a Maplewood performance? Well, we're researching a book about the Maplewood Barn community players to be published in a celebration of our new home and our 40th anniversary season. It will contain a lot of photos of past shows, costumes, and programs. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of our archives in the fire that destroyed the original historic barn a couple of years ago. If you have any memories or materials to share, we'd like your help. For details, check out our website. It's maplewoodbarn.com. And now, back to our story.
And now, let's rejoin the White family as they stare at the monkey's paw.
Well, if there's no more in it than his other stories, then no harm can come of it.
Did you give him anything for it, John?
Just a trifle. He didn't want it, but I made him take it.
There now, you shouldn't. Throwing your money around like that.
I wonder...
What?
I wonder if we shouldn't just burn it.
Why, according to the sergeant, it could make you rich.
Burn it? Why, you gave him money for it. That's so like you, John. Pay for something and then just throw it into the fire.
I wonder. I don't know what to wish for, that's a fact. I seem to have everything I want.
Well, if only you cleared the debt on this house, you'd be quite happy, wouldn't you? Well, go ahead. Wish for the 200 you need to pay off the mortgage. That'll do it.
Think I should?
Go ahead. What's the harm?
Don't, John, please. The sergeant seems so nervous about it.
Now, Dad, don't be superstitious.
All right. I will. I wish for 200 pounds. Ah!
What's the matter?
It moved. The paw moved. When I made the wish, it twisted in my hand like a snake.
That's crazy, Dad. Look, it's stiff as a bone.
Must have been your imagination, John.
Well, I don't see the money. And I bet we never will.
Thank heaven. No harm done, but it gave me a shock.
Well, it's 11:30, and I must be moving along. Duty calls, you know. My shift starts at midnight. It has been an entertaining evening.
I'm off to bed. Don't be late for breakfast, Herbert.
I'll walk home as usual. It's good for me. I'll be home about 9. Don't wait for me, though.
You know your father never waits.
Good night, Mother. Good night, Dad. Better look under your bed. The cash might be there.
I tell you, it moved, Herbert.
And there may be a monkey hanging from the bedpost, waiting to watch you count the gold coins.
I wish you wouldn't joke, my boy.
All right, Dad. Well, I need to get to work. See you in the morning. Lord, what weather. Good night.
Oh, this bolt is sticking again. Oh. I hope Herbert can fix it tomorrow. Should I have let it burn, Mother?
Ah!
What's the matter?
Nothing. I thought I saw faces in the fire.
After calming down a bit, Mr. and Mrs. White retired for the evening. The next morning, Mrs. White is preparing breakfast, while Mr. White stands at the window, looking out on a bright, sunshiny day.
Ah, what a grand morning Herbert has for walking home. The storm has passed.
What's the time? 8:45. I declare, he's off at 8.
It takes him a half an hour to change and wash. He's probably walking past the cemetery right about now.
He'll be here in about 10 minutes.
What's for breakfast?
Sausages. Why, here's that filthy old monkey's paw on the table. Silly thing. The idea of us listening to such nonsense.
Yes, the sergeant and his stories. I suppose all soldiers are alike.
Come on, Father. Herbert hates us to wait.
Yes, yes.
I don't think wishes can be granted in this day and age. At least not by a monkey's paw.
Ah, been thinking about it all night, have you?
You kept me awake with all your tossing and turning.
Yes, I had a bad night.
It was the storm, I expect. What a blow.
I didn't hear it. I was asleep and not asleep, if you know what I mean.
And all that rubbish about making you unhappy if your wish was granted. I don't see how 200 pounds could hurt.
It might drop on my head out of the sky. Don't see any other way. And I'd be willing to tolerate that. Though, mind you, Morris said it could all happen so naturally that it might be taken for coincidence.
Well, it hasn't happened, and it isn't going to happen. That's all I know, and how can you sit there and talk about it? What's that?
It's the postman, of course.
He's brought a letter, John.
Well, what did you think he'd bring, a bag of coal?
John, suppose...
Suppose what?
Suppose it is the 200 pounds.
Here, don't talk nonsense. Why don't you fetch it?
Here it is, John, and it's got something crisp inside it.
Who's it for?
You.
Oh, hand it over then. The idea. What a superstitious old woman you are. Where are my reading glasses?
Let me open it.
Don't you touch it. Where are my glasses?
Don't let sudden wealth sour your temper, John.
Will you please find my reading glasses?
Here they are, John, here. Now, take care. Don't tear it.
Tear what?
The money, John.
You've gone batty, woman. You make me nervous. Here, it says, Sir, enclosed, please find receipts for all interest paid on the mortgage of your house to date, duly received.
That's what comes of listening to tipsy old soldiers.
What does?
You thought there was money in it.
I didn't. You're the one who said don't tear the money or something to that effect. I said all along...
How Herbert will laugh when I tell him.
You're not going to tell him, are you? Oh, why, I would never hear the end of it.
It would serve you right. I will tell him. Remember how he made fun of you last night when you said the paw moved?
But it did move. I'd swear to it.
You thought it did.
I said it did. No thinking about it. You saw how it upset me, didn't you? Well, didn't you? Why don't you listen? What is it?
Nothing.
Do you see Herbert coming?
No.
He's about due. What is it?
Nothing. Only a man. Looks like a gentleman. At least he's wearing black and he's got a top hat on.
What about him?
He stood at the garden gate as if he wanted to come in, but he couldn't seem to make up his mind.
Oh, go on. You're full of fantasies.
He's going. No, he's coming back.
Don't let him see you peeping. He's probably just lost.
No, he's looking at the house. He's got his hand on the gate latch. He turned away again. John looks like a sort of lawyer.
What of it?
Oh, you'll only laugh again, but suppose he's coming about the 200.
You are not to mention it again. You're a foolish old woman. Come and eat your breakfast. Where is he now?
Gone down the road. Wait! He turned back. He seems to have made up his mind. Here he comes, John, and me so untidy.
Oh, go ahead and answer it. He probably has the wrong house.
Is this the White residence?
Yes, please come in. Excuse us being so untidy. This is my husband, Mr. White.
Good morning. My name is Samson.
Won't you please sit down?
Thank you. No, I think not. Yes, my name is Samson. I said that already, didn't I?
Perhaps you came to see Herbert. He should be home any time.
No. I've come from the electrical works.
Why, you might have come with him.
No, I've come alone.
Is anything the matter?
I was asked to call.
Herbert, has anything happened? Is he hurt?
There, Mother, don't jump to conclusions. Let the man speak. You've not brought bad news, I'm sure, have you, sir?
I'm sorry.
Is he hurt?
Yes.
Badly?
Very badly.
Oh, John!
Is he in pain?
No, he's not in pain.
Oh, thank God! Thank God for that! Do you mean...
Go on, sir.
He was telling his co-workers a story, something that happened here last night. He was laughing and not paying attention, and the machinery caught him.
Oh, no!
The machinery caught him. Yes, this is hard, sir. Very hard.
The company wished me to convey their sincere condolences for your great loss.
Our great loss.
I was also instructed to say, I am only their employee.
Our great loss.
I was told to say that the company denies any responsibility for the accident, but in consideration of your son's services, they wish to present you with a certain sum as compensation.
Our great loss. Wait. Compensation? How much?
£200?
So, Mr. White's wish came true, but it cost much more than he ever imagined. About a week later, Mr. White is sitting by the fire while Mrs. White gazes blankly out the window.
What are you doing?
Looking up the road.
What's the use, Jenny? What's the use?
That's where the cemetery is. That's where we laid him.
Yes, a week ago today. What time is it?
I don't know.
We don't take much account of time now, do we, Jenny?
Why should we? He isn't coming home anymore. He'll never come home again. There's nothing to think about.
Or talk about. Here, come away from the window. It's cold.
It's colder where he is.
Yes, gone forever.
And all our hopes gone with him.
And all our wishes.
Yes, and all our... John!
Jenny, for heaven's sakes, what's the matter?
The paw, the monkey's paw.
Where is it? What's the matter with it?
I want it. You haven't thrown it out, have you?
I haven't seen it since... Why?
I want it. Find it.
Here it is. What do you want it for?
Why didn't I think of it? Why didn't you think of it?
Think of what?
The other two wishes.
What?
We've only used one.
Wasn't that enough?
No, we have two more, and we can use one now. Here, take the paw, take it quickly, and wish.
Wish what?
Oh, John, wish that our boy was alive again.
Oh, God, are you mad?
Take it, and wish. Oh, my boy.
Go to bed. Get some sleep. You don't know what you're saying.
We had the first wish granted. Why not the second?
He's been dead 10 days, and... Jenny, he was so mangled... I only knew him by his clothing. If you weren't allowed to see him then, how could you bear to see him now?
I don't care. Bring him back.
I won't touch that thing.
Here, take it. Wish.
Jenny. Oh, Jenny.
Wish.
Oh, Jenny, I can't stand to see you like this. I wish my son... was alive again. I'd moved.
Nothing.
Thank heaven.
Nothing at all, along the whole length of the road. Not a living thing, and nothing left in our lives, John.
Except each other, Jenny, and our memories.
We're too old.
We were only alive through him. We can't begin again. We can't feel anything now, John, but emptiness and darkness.
It isn't for long, Jenny. We'll both be with him again soon.
Every minute is long now.
I can't bear this darkness.
It's dreary, dreary.
Turn on the light, Jenny. We mustn't sit in the dark. There, now, don't go on like that, Mother.
I'm a mother no longer.
There, now, go on up to bed. Go on, now, I'm coming.
Whether I'm here or in bed, wherever I am, I'm with my boy. I'm already dead. What's that?
Must be a rat. The house is full of them. Stop. What are you going to do?
It's my boy. It's Herbert. I forgot the cemetery was a mile away. Why are you holding me like that? I must open the door.
For God's sake, Jenny, no.
Let me go.
Don't open the door.
Let me go.
Think what you might see.
Do you think I fear the child I bore? Let me go.
No, Jenny, don't do it. The paw. Where's the monkey's paw?
John, the bolt is stuck. I can't move it. Come and help, quick!
The paw. There's one wish left.
Do you hear him, John? Your child is knocking.
Where is it? Where's the paw?
Help! Help me, John! This bolt won't move. Will you keep your son from his home?
Oh, the paw. Where is it? I can't find it.
Herbert! Herbert, my boy, wait! Your mother is trying to open the door for you. Oh, it's moving. The bolt is moving.
Oh, God forbid. Here it is. Here's the paw.
Herbert! Herbert, I'm coming!
I wish him dead. I wish him dead and at peace.
Oh, Herbert! Oh!
It appears that Mr. and Mrs. White, with the best of intentions, set in motion a series of events with disastrous results. There are two basic lessons for the Whites as well as for us. First, be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. And second, you can choose your choices, but you cannot choose your consequences. We can choose to wish upon a star or a monkey's paw, but we cannot control the outcomes of the choices that we make. We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of the chilling short story, The Monkey's Paw, by W.W. Jacobs, brought to you by Maplewood Barn Radio Theater and KBIA. Our producer was Darren Helwich. The story was adapted for radio by Willie Wilson. Our players included Dave Collins as Mr. White, Sue Ellersack as Mrs. White, Aaron Hunsley as Herbert, Willie Wilson as Sergeant Morris, and Chris Bowling was Mr. Sampson. This is your narrator, Byron Scott, hoping you'll join us again next week at the same time for another entertaining half hour at Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, right here on KBIA. If you wish to listen to this show again, direct your browser to kbia.org. Our podcast is in the Arts and Culture section. Good night.